Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray. On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone in for Big Jim Murray, who was filled in for by Joe Murray, and now eventually.
I'm like
here.
Bill Belichick. I'm just auditioning play callers here. That's all I'm doing. I'm just, we're just going through a process here on Gasper and Murray, and trust me, it's all gonna. We'll figure it out. Just trust me.
You guys will be ready to go for by week one. It'll be Gasper.
Yeah,
Murray,
just trust me. I'm just auditioning different, play callers, different leaders, different people who are gonna give me the play and I'll respond to it. So yeah, we're just going through a process like anything else related to the radio show. No big deal.
You're that veteran right now that's playing in that preseason game going, what the F? Why am I with this guy that's going to be at like bagging groceries at Shaw's in 2 weeks? What are we doing here? All right. Quickly, I want to switch gears, Chris, and just get your thoughts on the Kevin Durant saga, because so a couple interesting, really interesting reports dropping this week. We'll start with the Shams one in The Athletic, and in regards to Kevin Durant and his meeting with Nets owner Joe Tsai. Happened over the weekend in London, and Shams writes, hold on, let me get there. Durant told Tsai that he wants Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash out. Durant stated he does not have faith in the team's direction anymore. So it's either Durant or it's Steve Nash and Joe Tsai out the door. Can I just say, by the way, having lost faith in the team's direction, now I want Kevin Durant. He's making it very hard for me to stay with this take, very, very hard. Durant, like, you have been in charge of the team's direction so far.
That's a good
You've
point.
Been the general manager. You wanted James Harden there. You teamed up with Kyrie Irving. You got Kenny Atkinson fired. They brought in Steve Nash because you wanted him to be the head coach. So, like, Sean Marks did a really nice job kind of rebooting off of the debacle that was the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum picks trade for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce back in the day to put together that kind of scrappy Nets team. Ever since D'Angelo Russell was out the door, Chris, he's had no control, it feels like, over this roster.
Yeah, they basically blew that team up. Spencer Dinwiddie gone, Caris LeVert gone.
It's Kevin, like, you have been the person in charge of the direction of the Brooklyn Nets. So to say that you've lost faith in it is just so disingenuous. And again, coming from a guy that just his 4-year, $198 million extension hasn't really even kicked in yet is bananas to me too.
Can I phrase it another way?
Yeah.
This is a guy who's siding with Kyrie Irving over Marks and Nash. Isn't that terrifying?
Bit of a red flag there. Bit of a red flag. No question about it. And so in the article, they go on, and Shams goes on to lay out the teams that are still interested. And he said the Celtics, Raptors, and Miami Heat remain the most significant candidates to acquire Durant, with Boston's package centering around all-star forward Jaylen Brown seen as a viable deal. And he goes out to lay the relationship out with Ime Udoka and Kevin Durant. And obviously those two are close. But I'll just say this. Brown for Durant, in or out, Chris?
Out.
Yeah.
I'm out. And I'm out because of what you just talked about. I think it was great the way you broke it down. In terms of Kevin Durant, I think is disingenuous at times. And I think he dodges accountability. I don't think he took accountability for the lack of success that OKC had. I think with Golden State, like, he's a franchise killer. He killed OKC.
Yep.
He tried to kill Golden State I mean, if it weren't for their culture, and you know, Draymond Green told him we can win without you, but I mean, if it weren't for their culture and some pretty good moves they made to, in terms of rebooting that team, I think he would have left them in a shambles. He's going to leave Brooklyn in shambles, probably. And again, what's to say that a year from now, he doesn't go to Wick Rausbeck and say, oh, I don't believe in the direction of this team. As close as he is with Ime now, I mean, that all can change. And say, I don't believe in the direction of this team. I want to go, you know, I still want to go to Phoenix. That was really my first choice. You know, it's either Ime or Brad or me, or I just don't like, I don't think we have enough to win here because you ended up trading Marcus Smart along with Jaylen Brown to get me. And I told you I didn't want that. And I, you know, we didn't win. We lost to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. There's not enough here. I don't see how we get it. I want to go to Phoenix. Trade me. What's to stop him from doing that?
No, there isn't any.
There's nothing.
And that's the problem, too, for the Celtics. Like, you know, we've taken calls, you know, over the last few days talking about how, oh, well, if you can kind of get these assurances from Kevin Durant leading up to the trade and the fact that you're now on his list of places he's want to go, that should make you feel a little bit more comfortable. And the bottom line is, this is a guy that just signed a four-year extension last year and now wants out of the place where he is. So, like, any assurance that he's going to give you right now, to me, Chris, is meaningless because, like you said, but what's to stop him from next summer being like, yeah, that was then, this is now, I want out, and then what? You're in the same situation as you are with Brooklyn.
The scary thing about this is I'm trying to figure out, is it a pattern of repeating behavior, right? Or is he just really upset that they didn't sign Kyrie Irving to a long-term extension? Does he look at that and say, like, hey, Kyrie was my partner here, you guys don't believe in him, you've mistreated him, You're calling him out publicly for not being responsible towards the team in terms of what he did last year with his vaccination status. You didn't give him a long-term deal. I'm out of here. You know, you're not giving me everything. You're not giving me and my friend everything I want. You know, is it either one is bad? You know, either it's a pattern of not taking accountability, or he's so invested, so hypnotized by Kyrie that the fact that Kyrie's basically saying, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing, or like they're mistreating me, has him wanting out of Brooklyn. I mean, neither one of those is good. And both of them, I would say, you know, playing amateur psychologist, indicates that this is someone who's more of a follower than a leader.
Yeah, and when you talk about pairing him up with Jason Tatum, again, Jason Tatum taking that monster leap this year, but I think that's one of the things that you've kind of been wondering about Jason Tatum is, yeah, all-time talent, no doubt about it, but is he actually one of those guys that is that true leader?
I'm not sure. Is he an alpha?
Right. Is he in the perfect way to put it? And I'm not sure if he is. So pairing those two guys together would give me pause a little bit. I still lean towards making the deal. I do, knowing full well that it's probably going to blow up in my face.
No, I mean, I get it. Durant's an incredible talent.
I mean, that's what it comes down to for me, right? I just think ultimately at the end of some of these games in the postseason, whether it's the Miami series or especially Golden State, your offense just was such a slog at times, right?
Yeah.
And having Durant and Tatum there obviously would open things up dramatically. And I think, you know, kind of cure some of the issues that you had on the offensive end. And Jaylen, again, great player, continues to get better, certainly averages over 20 points a game, but it's not necessarily a guy that you can say, like, all right, go get me a bucket right now. We need a basket.
Although he was their best fourth quarter player in the playoffs. He shot 57% from the field in the fourth quarter in the playoffs.
He was. He also can't dribble. Like I think people kind of forget that. Like, you
that's
know what
fair.
I mean? Like, the guy can't handle the ball. So, look.
But he's also only 25 years old, McCoy. I mean, he'll be 26
totally fair
in October. I mean, I guess this comes down to one of those things. You know, it's like when you're a kid. Do you want it now, or do you want to show some patience? And the want it now thing is obviously Durant. He's a finished product. He's one of the best players in the game. He's one of the best players of his generation. Or do you sort of say, we're going to wait for Brown and Tatum to get better? They haven't reached their full ceilings, and the shortcomings they displayed throughout the playoffs and in the NBA Finals, they'll be able to close the gap on those. They'll be able to ameliorate those, and then you move forward. Because I do think, this is a weird thing to say, I do think bringing Durant in is a huge gamble.
It is.
I really do.
No, it is. No, for sure. Like you said, it could blow up in your face. You saw what happened with Kyrie Irving, and even if he, you know, is engaged for half a year and then things go south, you saw what happens when your superstar and your quote-unquote leader doesn't want to be a part of it anymore, like Kyrie was. And it's not pretty. There's no question about that. It's interesting, too, because you talked about kind of the long term with Tatum and Brown. And I think that's been one of the questions, too, is whether or not Jaylen Brown wants to be engaged with the Boston Celtics long term. Because I think that obviously changes the calculus for the Celtics as well, right?
Yes.
Like, if Jaylen Brown wants out at the end of 2 years, then I think suddenly the Durant trade becomes a lot more attractive. But Steve Bolpet, you sent this to me yesterday, Gasper, over at heavy.com, spoke with an NBA executive about Brown's situation, and the NBA exec said this. I had this to say. Quote, I think Jalen is long-term. If they want him long-term and they're going to pay him the contract he deserves, I think he's all in on Boston. From everything I've been told, Jalen's a loyal guy. I know frustration can happen when things aren't going well, and I think we saw some of that earlier in this past season. But when you take a step back and look at things, I think he wants to be there. And any problems that could ever happen with that relationship would probably have to come from him getting the idea that they're not in on him.
Yeah, and I think that's why if you're the Celtics with this, with these conversations, these discussions with Brooklyn, I think you have to give them an ultimatum, and I think you have to set a timeline, a time limit on this and say, if you want to do this, we need to do it by this, because this cannot drag on all offseason. Because then if you don't pull the trigger on the deal, you could end up ultimately losing both guys. In other words, you have no Kevin Durant and Jalen Brown.
Great point. Wants out now.
Because he feels like you don't value him. So there has to be a time limit on this if you're the Celtics, where you just tell the Nets, make up your mind, you know, that you have until this time for us to come to a deal. And after that, Jalen Brown is off the table and we're moving on.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. It is Gasper and Murray. Tim McCone in for Big Jim. More of your phone calls here coming up next.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 617-779-0985. Get to your phone calls here in just a second. But, Chris, quickly, I think one of the other things when it comes down to the Celtics and whether or not you would make this trade is something that Zach Lowe kind of laid out in an article about a week ago in terms of where do you think the Celtics are realistically right now in the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference. And not saying that the run to the championship was a fluke the run to the finals was a fluke, but – you know, they deserve to be there 100%. Give them credit, all of that. But you also look at it and say, all right, you were down 3-2 to the defending champs, Milwaukee, who didn't have their second best player. You managed to come back in that series. You were down to Miami. You had to win 3 road games in that series. You were a Jimmy Butler 3 away from getting knocked out in the Eastern Conference finals. And then obviously you fall short to Golden State. Going into the finals, by the way, Chris, I don't know how you felt. I thought they were the more talented team. By the end of it, realized that no, Golden State, I thought, was in fact the better team there. And so, like, how repeatable is actually getting back to the finals and how close you, you know, it doesn't feel like this is a Cleveland Golden State type situation, like from a few years ago where you could pretty much just pencil those two teams into the finals. Like, I still think where you're at right now with this roster, getting through the East, I'm not going to say it's a bit of a slog, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're absolutely going to get there with the team that they currently have.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I love the upgrades they've made. I mean, I really, really, really like bringing in Malcolm Brogdon. I think that's a huge upgrade for them as sort of the third scorer if they keep the current team intact. I like the Gallinari move, and you hope that some of the younger guys, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, maybe take another step forward in their games, and that would really help them because those guys are both sort of unique players, especially Robert Williams, who's very impactful on the defensive end. I would put them as the favorites, but I don't think it's a huge gap between, say, Milwaukee with Middleton back or Miami if you have a healthy Kyle Lowry and a healthy Tyler Hero or even Philadelphia is a team I like. Now, Joel Embiid is like the Chris Sale of the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's such a great player, but when you get to the postseason and you really need him, like he can't make it through.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about performance wise because he's a much better postseason performer than Sale, but he just can't like make it all the way through.
Yeah.
But if he could ever do that, and it seems like James Harden has rededicated himself, and I really like Tyrese Maxey. I think people sleep on him. Philly's a team to keep an eye. That's kind of my sleeper team in the East.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so they've kind of emerged here over the last couple of weeks, too, as a potential landing spot here for Kevin Durant. There's a report out this morning that Durant and James Harden have patched things up, according to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne. So I don't know what happened in the 3 months where things apparently went south. My guess would be Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie.
In that situation. But that's one of the other things that kind of scares me about the Durant stuff because, man, if you could ever pair Durant up in Philadelphia, it feels like that team suddenly emerges as a absolute wagon in the Eastern Conference, too. So, you know, that's one of the other things that I think that the Celtics need to kind of be aware of here moving forward with some of these trades, that if Durant lands with Philadelphia, well, then what happens to your championship window?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you could make the case you almost have to make the move to block another team, but I don't really believe in that. I think you have to do what's best for your organization. And, you know, we've seen it before, something that looks amazing on paper. And again, I just go back to Embiid and his injury history. Durant could go there, and if Embiid gets hurt, the whole thing looks different. But, man, Embiid, Durant, and if Harden can regain his form, they probably would have to give up Maxey, but that would still be a pretty scary team.
Scary team. You're right, though. On paper, it can look great. What did they play, 16 games together in Brooklyn, Kyrie,
like
Harden, and Durant?
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that on paper, and I really like Embiid, but you could make the argument that on paper, the Kyrie, KD, Harden thing was more formidable than what Philly would have on paper.
617-779-0985. I'll knock out some of your calls here. John and Quincy wants to talk about Jaylen Brown. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on how some people are operating. Like Jaylen Brown has been indicating that, you know, it's not a guarantee that he's going to sign his next contract with us. And I guess it's not a guarantee, but he's given no indication that he wants to leave Boston. He says he likes playing with Jason Tatum. They both have expressed they like playing together. Are they best friends? No, but they seem to have a very good working relationship. And with them, how much money more the Celtics can offer than the rest of the league? I just don't see why we would think or operate in a way that he's not going to re-sign that next contract. And if we are operating like he's going to re-sign the next contract, it makes no sense to even entertain Durant trade rumors. I just think they've got such a good core. You max him out like he deserves. You keep this thing together for a long time, and you see what happens. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that at this point. I mean, I'm higher on Jaylen Brown, I think, probably than most. I don't think he's reached the ceiling yet, and you have to look at he's improved every year. And what if Jaylen Brown ultimately ends up becoming, say, Kawhi Leonard light? And I brought this up on the show, I think, to you a couple weeks ago. I said, who would you rather have as the leader of your team? Fully healthy, which, again, is a huge caveat. I get it. Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant?
Kawhi. Yeah. Kawhi's done it before.
Yeah. He's carried a team to Kevin Durant, as great as he is, has never solo carried a team to a championship, like through a season, through a postseason. I know he had the two finals MVPs and he was unreal in those finals. But again, he went to Golden State.
Yeah, you're not carrying the load there.
No.
In that situation.
No.
Like you said, it's easy to look really good when the pressure is not solely on you like it would be, you know, in OKC or like obviously it was in Brooklyn there.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. The one thing that I would say, like, I just, again, Jaylen Brown's a really good player. And there aren't many people I would entertain this for, but you're talking about a guy that was or is one of the three best players in the last 10 years in the NBA, right? Like it's probably LeBron, Steph Curry, and Durant, whatever order you want to put those guys in, but that's kind of what you're dealing with. And so when you're talking about an all-world talent, man, I just think you have to think long and hard. Despite all the baggage that he's coming with, I get it. And it could absolutely blow up in your face. Like you mentioned, Chris, there's no doubt. And there isn't an assurance, I think, that Kevin Durant can give you that would make you feel like he's 100% committed and that everything's all good. Like there's no Kevin Garnett situation where you're trading for him and he's signing the extension and like, all right, we're good to go. We don't have to worry about it. We know he's going to be invested. I think in the back of your mind, you're always going to feel like, you know, is this the week that suddenly he decides that he doesn't want to be in Boston anymore? All that being said, you pair him with Tatum, I think you are the clear-cut favorite to win an NBA championship. And if that's the ultimate goal, to win a title, then I think you have to, I think you have to pull the trigger. The one line in the sand for me would be Robert Williams. I don't give him up in any deal. It would not be a Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams.
Oh, your line in the sand is not Marcus Smart?
No. No, and I've heard your take on this, and I think it's great, and that's why I kind of want to set you up for it, because, look, Robert Williams, to me, is a difference maker on the defensive end, unlike even Marcus Smart. I know Marcus Smart was the defensive player of the year. Feels like everything kind of runs around Robert Williams and what he does on that end of the floor, and you're talking about giving up two major impact players. I don't think he is replaceable at all.
I agree.
Marcus Smart is a guy that, especially now that you brought in Brogdon, if you still have Derek White and Brogdon on your roster, like you can get by without Marcus.
Yeah,
Smart.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I just think if you're walking down this road, if you're the Celtics, if you're going to make the deal, and I understand Durant has said he wants to play with Marcus Smart, and if I were Durant, I'd want to play with Marcus Smart too. He's a great role player. He'll make me look better. But if you're walking down this road, you putting Jaylen Brown on the block, you can't draw the line at Marcus Smart, particularly given all the money you've spent on his, air quotes, backups, because, you know, Brogdon is a starter caliber player who's better than Smart, but will go to the bench so that they can assuage his ego. So you've spent all this money on other point guards. The whole point of that was to give you the flexibility to deal one of them off, including Smart. So to draw the line there, to me, just seems silly. Not even, I'd say beyond silly, it's dumb. To draw the line there is dumb. And I just think that makes no sense. If you're in for Jaylen Brown, then you got to be in for Marcus Smart to bring in Durant. I'm not in on this deal, so I wouldn't, you know, just for Smartophiles out there, I don't want to trade Smart. I want him still on the team. I want Jaylen Brown still on the team. Let's move forward with what we've got. But I'm just saying, if you're doing it as the Celtics, you can't draw the line there. And also, I just want to say this, too, on Durant. I think I might have a different take on this, and maybe I'd be on your side of the street, McCone, if Kevin Durant were 29, 30, 31 years old. He's going to be 34 in September. I think his build is sort of unique in NBA history, the whole Slim Reaper thing. I'm just not convinced that he's not going to either decline or get injured. And when Kevin Garnett came here, he was 31 years old. I think that's a big difference, 31 to 34.
No, there is. And look, I'm with you. Played 54 games last year. That was a bit of a fluke injury, but you're talking about a guy that's 7 feet tall and 36 pounds and has an Achilles injury in the past as well. And
had a bad foot injury.
Right. Again, like you mentioned, there's a lot of miles on those tires and the fact that you're already 33, 35. I mean, your window with Durant feels like is what, 2 to 3 years?
2 to 3 years.
Two to three years. And that's if he's all in and invested in the current situation. You know, but I don't think you're looking much past that. And again, you know, that Steve Volpett article about Jaylen buying in and being all in does kind of change things. Like if you really can pair Jaylen and Tatum moving forward here for the next 5, 6, 7 years, you have to think a little bit differently, I guess, about that situation. My whole thing is it never feels like in the NBA, Chris, these windows stay open for as long as what you think they're going to when you have those two type
no, I mean,
players.
We all thought the Celtics had this crazy long window with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, right?
That didn't exactly work out. No, there's no question about that. And like you mentioned, too, when you're talking about Kevin Durant, you know, the fact that he's hitched his wagon here to Kyrie Irving like he has is...
that just scares me. And I think if, from a leadership standpoint, I've said this before, I will repeat it. I think if Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum are your leaders, I think you have one guy in Tatum who's a really nice, you know, I'm calling him a kid because he's, you know, much younger than me, but really nice guy. But he's soft-spoken. I think he's a little passive, which is okay.
Yep.
That's just his personality. And then I think you have another guy who's kind of passive-aggressive. So do you want to have your two leaders be passive and passive-aggressive? I would say no.
I do see you guys lined up. I'm going to get to your phone calls here quickly, but I do want to ask you this, Chris.
I mean,
you've worked with a lot of athletes in the past, and there are certain athletes that aren't necessarily made for this market, don't thrive in a market that is as intense as Boston is. Do you think that's a factor when you're talking about Kevin Durant, who's on Twitter more than it feels like anybody out there and is kind of engaged in listening to as many things? I mean, it feels like he would be a P1 listener for 98.5.
Oh, definitely.
That would definitely be a boon for the station. but, yeah, it feels like he absolutely would have his ear to the ground when it comes to Boston.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a recipe for success.
I would agree if it were a different team, but I think, you know, the Celtics media space and also – the Celtics fan base is one of the more forgiving in the city in terms of the team. So, yeah, there'd be some discussion. I do think he'd clap back at, like, Felger and Maz or some internet stuff. But I think overall it's not the same experience as playing for, say, the Red Sox or the Patriots. So I don't think it's an ideal market for him, but that wouldn't deter me from making the deal if I were on the side of making the deal.
All right, 617-779-0985. Promise to sneak in a couple calls here before the break. Let's go to Dave in Weymouth. Dave, what's up?
So I know that the initial reports was White, Brown, and a draft pick, and then Brooklyn countered with a plethora of draft picks, Smart and Brown. And I think maybe for Brooklyn what they're actually doing is they know that the big sticking point is the amount of draft picks. So I think what they're doing is by saying Smart instead of White, maybe that means that if it comes down to, oh, is it going to be two or three picks, then Brooklyn can say, hey, I tell you what, we'll take White instead of Smart and make it three picks instead of two. I don't know that they actually care. And would you guys include one extra draft pick if it meant trading Smart instead of White?
Yeah, I probably would, but I don't think that's the case based on what you're hearing about what Brooklyn's offering. They want the max package in terms of what they can get, so I don't think it's an either-or with the draft picks. I think the draft picks are a given. It's going to take, like, three draft picks. I mean, just look at what Minnesota gave up to get Rudy Gobert. The market's kind of been set, so to me, the draft picks are the draft picks.
Yep.
And if I had to guess anything, they want the draft picks, they want Brown, they want Smart, and they probably want Robert Williams, too. You know, so I think if anything, you're sort of to me, the base package for the Celtics, if they want to make this deal, like things you can't argue over. Brown, three draft picks, Smart.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, okay, is it going to be four picks? Are we going to have to throw like another player in, you know, whatever it is? I just don't see it sort of the way that the caller sees it, where it's like, oh, we'll just throw in an extra draft pick and we'll get to keep Marcus Smart and it will be Derek White instead. I don't see Sean Marks going that route.
You know, it's interesting. Tim Botemps over at ESPN came out with an interesting article a couple weeks ago where he was talking about how the landscape of these blockbuster trades have kind of changed over the years. And, you know, 20 years ago, let's say, if you're trading a superstar player, you're asking for, you know, established guys on those rosters. And, you know, Felger and Maz have been talking about this forever, but, you know, like four quarters doesn't equal a dollar in the NBA, right? Like, so four, like, pretty good players doesn't equal a superstar player. And GMs have kind of, you know, figured that out. And so not only, you know, by getting these draft picks, do you, number one, set yourself up for maybe you can pull off a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum type, type haul, but you also can sell to your fan base and your owners like, hey, just wait until the future when we cash in some of these draft picks. And it's not, you know, what you see is what you get. And now I'm out of a job in 2 years because you realize that the haul you got for this superstar is not worth it. 617-779-0985. Joe and Quincy on Durant. Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, so Jason Tatum ruined it for me in the playoffs last year. He completely just didn't show heart. And I don't think Durant has ever been that A1 leader, as you said yourself. It's quite possible you could have Durant and Tatum on the same team and not have anybody with heart or that one leader. I think I've seen enough out of Tatum. I know he has talent, but I haven't seen the heart ever. I think we should trade Tatum for Durant straight up, and I think that would give I think Brown has more heart than any of them, and I think that's the way to go. I'm just curious on your opinion.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly interesting. I don't think that the Celtics would do that. And I did say I don't think that Jason Tatum has an alpha personality. I do think he has heart. I mean, he did show heart game 6 against Milwaukee. And
yeah,
if anything,
46.
He pulled the heart out of the chest of the Bucks. I mean, I was there for that game. It was unbelievable the way he played, and he was flexing to the crowd. And he really enjoyed being in that environment. And if you recall, who was the guy who was the calmest, the coolest, and semi-guaranteed a win after game 5? It was Jason Tatum. So while I totally agree, and I do agree he's not an alpha, I don't think it's like a heart issue. With Jason Tatum, I think his personality is just a little more reserved, and I don't like the idea of Tatum and Durant as sort of the leaders of the team, but I just can't see the Celtics trading Tatum at this point, really, for anybody.
All right, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. See you guys lined up. More of your phone calls after this.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on, nope, there we go. No match for a little, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Chris Gasper. And you talking Kevin Durant right now. Would you pull the trigger on the deal? The latest this week, Shams coming out with an article on Monday saying that Durant giving an ultimatum to Brooklyn, saying either trade me or get rid of Sean Marks, the GM there, and Steve Nash, the head coach.
In fairness to Durant, he's not wrong about Nash. If it were just change the coach, I would be like, KD's right. He has a point. I thought Nash was terrible in that playoff series against Ime Udoka.
Can I ask you? I have two questions for you. Number one, if you're Steve Nash, what are you doing? Like, you have made millions of dollars. I can't imagine dealing with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on a day in a day out basis is like an enjoyable thing. Like, dude, go to a beach somewhere. Just hang out. Like, what are we doing?
If you're Steve Nash, you'd be like, hey, KD, Kyrie. Just so you know, I won twice as many MVPs as the two of you combined.
Right. So there's that as well. Here's my second question. If you were Joe Tsai, Gasper, and you got that ultimatum from Durant, what are you doing? Because Joe Tsai came out later that night on Monday after the article dropped and said that I have the back, our front office has the backing of me. I have their backs. So obviously he's going with the front office there. Can I be honest? Sean Marks and Steve Nash would be on the corner.
You have to phrase it, what are you asking me to choose? Is the choice really Durant or Marks and Nash, or is it Marks and Nash or Kyrie? In other words, is this something where you have Kyrie Irving in the ear of Kevin Durant, and this is now punitive? He's trying to get revenge because he didn't get the contract, his buddy didn't get the contract that he wanted? Or is this really, you know, something where KD feels like this is best for the team? As I said to you, if it were just changing the coach, because teams change coaches in the NBA all the time, you know, there's a point where Michael Jordan's like, okay, I'm good, moving on from Doug Collins. Magic Johnson, you know, was a coach killer early in his career. So it's like, it's fine. Changing the coach, a superstar changing the coach, that's not like a huge deal. But I think that now when you're talking about moving on from the general manager, that's like a different deal. And that would maybe show your franchise being sort of weak and being a franchise that is unstable if you're reacting in that way. Especially because, as you pointed out, you know, Sean Marks, before Kyrie and KD got there, had done a really good job building up that team. And he'd done everything Durant wanted to put the players he wanted around him as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the pedigree from San Antonio. And like you said, did a nice job there before he lands two of those superstars and to throw him out. And look, you know, Durant and Kyrie Irving obviously have a lot of pull over that organization. I think it's one thing for it to kind of be unsaid. I think it's another when publicly Durant makes that ultimatum and you follow through on it. That, like you said, the power there that Durant would wield over that organization would be, you know, that's a tough sell.
On the other hand, playing devil's advocate from my own take, is it all that different from basically KD and Kyrie told you how they want the team to be? When Kyrie sat up after losing to the Celtics and talked about how, like, you know, I forget the exact quote, but basically, you know, me and Kevin and Steve and Sean and Joe, you know, we're all going to figure out the right direction for this franchise. Where those two put themselves on like a pedestal where they're like the decision makers for the team.
It's a good point.
They really think that.
Yes. Yeah. No, they do. There's no question. 617-779-0985. Bob's in Worcester. Bob, what's up?
Gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
Who knew you two would be the voice of the reason on the Sports Hub?
Nah. It's not that hard to be the voice of reason on this station.
I've been screaming at my radio for weeks about this Kevin Durant trend. Stupid idea. He's 34 years old, injury history. Why would you ever trade him for Jaylen Brown?
I think because of the name, because of the potential for immediate success, and despite all those things, people think it's a little bit more of a sure thing. I just don't think it moves you forward as much as people think in terms of being a championship contender.
Yeah.
I think it's the name recognition factor. We all know what Durant has accomplished. But given the baggage he comes with in terms of his personality, in terms of the instability he can instill in a franchise, the age factor, the durability factor, I think when you take all those things into account, how much are you really moving your team for? And also, I would say just the track record. When has he dragged a team to the NBA Finals and won it?
Yeah, no, it hasn't happened. Like you mentioned, I mean, you join a team that won 73 regular season games, right? And then, you know, won a couple championships, no doubt. But yeah, he wasn't able to do it in OKC and what was a super talented team.
Very talented team.
And then obviously the Brooklyn thing has kind of been a disaster from the jump there. There's no doubt about that. You're not wrong. The injury concern is very real with Durant. And pulling the trigger on that trade, there's definitely a leap of faith, not only in terms of is he actually going to be engaged, but is he going to be able to stay healthy here? Because, like you said, that body type, 7 feet tall and, you know, the 22 pounds is not necessarily looks like he's built like long term. And that I just think offensively, your ceiling is so much higher with him and Tatum paired up with one another. But you're right. I mean, look, it comes with risks. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, too. Like, when you go back and look at kind of what it felt like the blueprint initially was here in Boston, it was like acquire a superstar through free agency and then maybe use some of these draft picks to get that next superstar piece. And really the path ultimately might be that both of these guys just mature into your two building blocks going forward, and that's good enough to ultimately win a championship. It's kind of funny how that stuff works out.
And speaking from the sort of fan standpoint, putting my fan cap on.
Oh, it would be much more fun, right?
Yes, right? It's much more enjoyable when you feel like it's, you know, grassroots, organic, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
When it's like you get to see those guys grow.
No, you're 100% right about that. Don in Carver just jumped on. Let's sneak in before the break here. Don, what's up?
Yeah. Chris, this is a septuagenarian, and I want to throw out a little tidbit regarding Jason Tatum. You remember near the end of the Miami series, he hurt his shoulder. Now, yes. I think that shoulder was bothering him just enough in the whole next series. And I think that his personality is such that he did not publicly acknowledge it. He said it in passing a couple of times, but just very little. He's not that type of person, and I think that shoulder injury had a lot to do with that last series. By the way, my real name is Tommy Pham, and I want to know how much I'm getting for this phone call.
No, I like that. That's a great point about Tatum, and we probably haven't talked about that enough. I mean, wouldn't you feel better about it, McCone, if it turned out it was a physical malady that affected him and not sort of the stage of being in the NBA finals and not being able to deliver? I would feel so much better about Jason Tatum if it turned out it was injury related versus just having a bad series and or running out of gas or whatever you want to call it.
No, I'm with you. I do think that the pendulum has swung a little bit too far. Like, we had a caller call in last segment saying that he'd rather trade Tatum than Jaylen Brown in this situation. And I just look, Tatum did not have a good finals, no doubt about it. I think those two are on different levels. I think Tatum is a significantly better player than Jaylen Brown is. And so I wouldn't move Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown I would be open to. And I go back to the performance you talked about. Like, you've seen it from Tatum. I know it didn't happen in the finals, but 46 in a must-win game against the defending champs, that should count for something. I mean, you know that this kid can play in big spots. It just ultimately it didn't happen in the biggest last year, unfortunately. All right, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone in for Big Jim.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Chris Gasper, no Big Jim this week. But we do have Brian Robb of Mass Live, who's one of the better Celtics writers out there. Quickly, B-Rob, your thoughts on all this Durant stuff? Do you think it's realistic that he actually winds up in Boston?
At this point, absolutely. I mean, the rumors have been out here. It'd be one thing if there was one report a month ago and it just goes away. But I think it's pretty clear right now, based on all these reports, that Jaylen Brown is the best player out there that's in play for the Nets. So whether or not the Celtics are willing to give up more than him to get him, as long as he's out there as a possibility, it could be the Celtics.
Let me ask you this, B-Rob. Is there a timeline here for the Celtics? I know I brought this up earlier, but is there a point where they have to tell Brooklyn, look, we got to make this deal or walk away, because you keep dangling Jaylen Brown, and you risk losing him sort of mentally. Like, he gets frustrated with the fact that he's being dangled. And I know the reports have been that he, quote unquote, understands the situation. But at a certain point, don't you start to resent that your name is just constantly out there in trade talks?
Yes, it's a dangerous game from the Celtics standpoint there. And you want to put a timeline on it. The other problem, though, Gasper, I feel like, though, if you're the Celtics here and the main other contenders to land Durant are in the Eastern Conference, you want to at least drive up the price. Even if you have no real interest in giving up Jaylen Brown, you have to make these other teams, and hopefully the Nets, think they have that leverage out there. So if you come out and say you're, you know, Jaylen's off the table, or you're just pulling out negotiations, then what if Durant goes to the Raptors for not much of a haul, or the Sixers, or, you know, God forbid, the Heat? Then you're in a situation where it's like, ah, like, we really, you know, screwed ourselves here. So that's, I think it's a fine line there, and Brad Stevens and the rest of the front office are going to have to, you know, walk it finely here to make sure that they either get the guy they want in Durant, or at least, at the very least, drive up the price for whoever ends up getting him.
All right, 617-779-0985. Let's sneak in a couple more phone calls here before we hit hub headlines. Let's talk to Anthony in Easton. Anthony, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Good.
Good, good. I was just going to talk about the Kevin Durant trade, if they were going to do it. I agree with one of your past callers. Like, I think if you make a trade, you trade Jason Tatum for Kevin Durant, and okay, you pair him with Jaylen Brown. I think that's the better combination. I think Jason Tatum, hands down, as of right now, is the most overrated player in the NBA as it stands from, like, a media perspective. Especially on this station, for some reason, he just gets put on this pedestal for, like, everything he does. It's just, like, I don't understand it. I really don't. Like, Jaylen Brown is an equivalent player, if not better than Jason Tatum currently. And that's just my opinion. But
I think they're a lot closer than people do think that they are. I really do, and I'm a big Jaylen Brown guy. But I have to admit that Tatum has a level of offensive polish and just innate offensive ability that Jaylen Brown doesn't have. And I think offensively his ceiling is higher than Jaylen Brown's, and we've seen that. So a lot of my reaction in terms of when I was talking to the caller who wanted to trade Jason Tatum was not my personal opinion. It's just based on what I know about the Celtics. It's like, you know, why waste time talking about something that's not going to happen?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I look, I'm a spoiled millennial. I know I get called that by people on the station. I like offense. Jason Tatum, offensively, much better player. Defensively, he's a good player as well. He's a first-team All-NBA, Chris. I mean, that's not a small thing.
It's not.
He wouldn't have been if Kevin Durant was healthy all year. But first-team All-NBA is a huge honor, and I just think a lot of the problems and a lot of the issues that I think fans got upset with, some of that was the fact that offensively there was a monster burden on Jason Tatum in that postseason. And bringing in Kevin Durant would relieve a lot of that. And I think that kind of changes the landscape for the Celtics moving forward. Like, their biggest issue to me, in the postseason, a lot of times was just like that offense with like 8 minutes to go in these games would bog down.
Oh,
it was brutal.
Which is so
brutal.
Weird when you have the greatest point guard in the history of the NBA. It's just like, I just don't understand how that type of stuff would happen when you have this guy who's just this irreplaceable piece of a point guard who's he's a combination of like Gary Payton, Magic Johnson, from a point guard standpoint, with like a little bit of Dennis Rodman and rebounds like Bill Russell. How could that happen?
I'm very happy you were able to connect those dots. That's
the strangest thing. I mean, especially when it's the only point guard who's led this current group to the finals. It's just really weird to see the offense bogged down in the fourth quarter like that. And then afterwards, the president of basketball operations saying the number one need of the team is more playmaking, which is just so odd when you have this incredible point guard.
I know that you've said that you would not make this trade for Kevin Durant. You would understand it if the Celtics did, but you wouldn't be on board with it. Is there a line in the sand like I have with Robert Williams where you would go, all right, look, I understand it's Kevin Durant, but under no circumstances would I make that trade? Like, if they packaged a Jaylen Brown and a Robert Williams, are you still understanding of that trade, or is that just too much?
No, I think that's too much because you just don't have enough. Look, obviously Robert Williams versus Kevin Durant, no contest, Kevin Durant. But now I'm wondering, is my team overall a better team?
Such a good point, yeah.
And Robert Williams is such a unique guy and difficult to replace. And that's the difference between Robert Williams, again, and sort of Smart, is I think it's easier. You're not going to replace what Smart gives you. I fully acknowledge that. I mean, he's the defensive player of the year for a reason. But at the same time, I can maybe get a point guard who can give me 70% of his defense, right? How am I going to find a center that gives me 75, 80% of what Robert Williams could do, which is switch out on smaller players and then block their three-pointers 28 feet from the basket? There's like nobody in the league really doing that. You saw Rudy Gobert is a two-time defensive player of the year. He got cooked trying to do that against the Mavericks, whereas Robert Williams can step out and do that. So I just think overall, the identity of your team, so much of it is tied up on defense, and Williams is your most important defensive player, most irreplaceable defensive player. So I'm with you. I draw the line in the sand there.
I think he unlocks so much on the defensive end. And like you said, too, I just don't think that's a piece that's replaceable. And it is interesting, too. Like you said, Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year, deserved it. But you've also spent a lot of resources here on players that kind of overlap what Marcus Smart gives you. So a lot of that is replaceable here moving forward. If you were to move on, Marcus Smart, to me, would not be a piece that I would second guess if that's the deal that ultimately put me over the top.
No, I mean, if I'm willing to give up Jaylen Brown and I've invested all this capital at the point guard position so I had some flexibility, or let me put it this way, let me put it a much simpler way. Around the trade deadline, the Celtics were willing to at least explore trading Marcus Smart in a deal for Kevin Huerter. So you would trade him for Kevin Huerter, but not Kevin Durant? That seems odd to me. Just a little odd.
Perfect way to put it. That pretty much sums it up right there. All right. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. That's going to do it for our Celtics discussion as of now. Chris, want to get into some Red Sox stuff with you as well. Nice 10-0 win over the Yankees last night, but want to get your thoughts not only on the trade deadline, everything that went down there. One of the acquisitions had some interesting quotes coming off of last night's win.
I think infuriating quotes if you're a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, regarding the way that he arrived in Boston. Also want to get your thoughts on the Chris Sale debacle that went down this week as well. What his potential future here in Boston is going to look like. Going to do all that after Hub Headlines.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
We'll be right back.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. No big Jim Tim McCone in for him, but we do have Chris Gasper. And, Chris, I wanted to shift gears here and talk a little Red Sox. Boston coming off of a 10-inning win over the New York Yankees over at Fenway last night. Tommy Pham, your hero in that one, as he has the game-winning hit. But some interesting quotes regarding Pham and how he wound up in Boston. I know you saw some of these earlier as well. But I'll read from an article from Alex Speer on the Globe that came out this morning. He writes, what was Tommy Pham's first thoughts when he found out he'd been traded by the Reds to the Red Sox? Quote, I was like, damn, Heim. We could have done this about 4 months ago, said Pham, referring to Red Sox chief baseball officer Heim Bloom, whom he knew well from having spent a year and a half in Tampa Bay together. But I'm glad I'm here. Pham's reaction reflected the fact that he could have been in Boston for all of the 2022 season. The 34-year-old was a free agent when baseball's lockout lifted, and the Red Sox seemingly had an opening for a right-handed hitting outfielder after trading Hunter Renfro to the Brewers for Jackie Bradley Jr. and two prospects. They go on to say pretty much that we were close, said Pham. We were close. Heim just didn't pull the trigger, man. I wanted to come here.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the quote.
That's infuriating to me. I mean, this guy's helping the team. There's no question that he's helping the team. He had a huge hit last night, obviously, to win the game, the walk-off hit. Since he has gotten to the Red Sox, he definitely has made a difference with the 784 OPS. You've seen the home runs, 3 home runs in 10 games. He's exactly the type of right-handed hitting outfielder that they've needed all year. They're batting him leadoff now. And to realize that they could have had him back in March, he could have been on this team all year long, plugging an obvious hole for five.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.